Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and TLC show's on tonight, by the way. Good episode.
TiVo it,
10 o'clock.
Turn the sound down.
TLC.
What's the title of this one?
I don't know. I didn't check that part, but, you know, I watched it. And I liked it.
What's it about? What's the story?
Same thing. People arguing. Yeah. Me doing a few jokes. The usual crap.
Ray beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Get a little look at the behind the scenes going on. All right. Well, some heavy news. This is my last week on this program. Drew and I have been aware of this for some time, but we couldn't really share the news until now. A lot of you may have been able to do the math because of hearing some stuff about taking over for Stern on the West Coast and other various projects. And my feeling is, and I hope all you guys know this, I personally love this show because I really haven't had to do it for a number of years.
We haven't needed to do it.
To do it. Yeah. Yes, that's a better way of putting it.
But have wanted to do it.
I have wanted to do it. Yeah. And many people have said to me, well, I was doing the Man Show and Loveline, the TV show simultaneously, or the Man Show and Crank Yanker simultaneously. Where are you going at 9:30 at night? Better yet, why are you going somewhere at 9:30 at night? And to me, it's what I did. Mm. I did it because I loved it. And anyone who knows me knows I don't love too many things that involve work.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. I've never heard you use love and work in a sentence together.
Without
some sort of expletive in the middle.
Wait, you're right. The thing about this show is I feel very gratified by it. I love the people I work with. I love the callers, believe it or not. The dumbest, most pregnant, youngest, white trashiest ones. I still really enjoy.
I'm sure.
If anything, just to use them as a springboard to launch us into a conversation. But I really
appreciate them for that.
I really did do this show, and Drew did as well, under very adverse conditions sometimes, working, you know, full days during the day and then coming over here and then having to get up and do early calls in the morning.
Or when we travel, we have to do it till 3 in the morning. We have to get up at 7 for something.
Talking about being in North Carolina, Dawson's Creek from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m.
Here.
Doing the show in North Carolina, though, 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. in North Carolina.
And then have a 6 a.m. Call on the set Katie Holmes and that whole crew.
Always did it, and always figured no matter what I did, you just have to carve out a little spot for Loveline. Until the morning show opportunity came along, and now I'm going to be getting up at 4:30 in the morning, and there's just no possible way I can do it. And I feel that I've done it as long as I possibly could, but now we've run into some obstacle.
What's interesting,
that I just can't get around.
What testifies to how much you're attached to this show is you thought about it. How can I make this work? How can I get up at 3:30 and do Loveline? How will we do that?
Yeah. I know, and it's really, you know, I'll tell you, it's one of the things I really have a heavy heart about it. Mm-hmm. I don't get that sentimental about things, as you well know. I've started a lot of projects, finished a lot of projects, and not shed a tear. I did, you know, it's like, oh, the Man Show was great. Working with Jimmy was great. Working with my partners was great. But we did 100 episodes. I still see Jimmy every Sunday watching football over at his house. I'm fine. I'm able to walk away. Loveline, the TV show, Crank Anchors, many other projects. This show, I have a pit in my stomach over leaving. And it has to do with the listeners, it has to do with the sort of dedication of the listeners, has to do with you, it has to do with the crew, it has to do with all facets of the show. And I really, like I said, you know I love doing this show, or I would have been out of here 8.5 years ago.
Right. I mean, think about it this way, too. It's you know, both of you, you and I are sort of prone to depression, and this is a way that sort of was a structure in our day.
Yeah.
We always did something we enjoyed at the end of the day, and you know, it was a little focus that we enjoy. You're doing something good, right?
Yeah, no, it's weird. I always looked at it as my huggy blanket. Right. It was something I could keep in my hip pocket. I always knew, no matter what, here's the home, here's where you go.
Yeah.
This is essentially your day job or your trade, whatever it is. Other things come and go. The business is up and down. It's a tough town. And then you go to Loveline, and you take a whiz with Dr. Drew. You talk smack about the people you work with.
The guests.
And it is the guests, and it is awesome.
But the other thing is that it's a big chunk of my life.
Yeah.
We're talking about, 11 years, something like that?
Coming on,
11 years and a TV show and a bunch of travel.
Yes. And for those of you who don't know, Drew and I speak during the show, oftentimes just using these microphones like an intercom to speak back and forth to each other. We ought to just put, you know what we ought to do? We ought to put one of those partitions they have in limousines between us, and I could be like, Drew, we're coming up on Sepulveda. Should we turn right, or we just want to go ahead to the 405? Well,
that's what we do every night on the way home.
Right.
It's literally what we're doing.
Then
we go to 3 freeway. Oh, cop coming on your right. Watch out.
We go to, got a bandit at 3 o'clock.
And the off ramp open. What are you going
to
do?
Yes. Yeah, so Drew and I then go to the bathroom together every night and have long winded conversations over the urinal. And then we get in our cars and speak on the cell phones to each other. But, you know, in part because we're in love with each other, in part because no one else is up at that hour for us to speak to. But the point is, you know, for me, this job has never been a job. It's just been something I do.
Part of your life.
And a part of my life and something I feel I need to do. And the morning radio thing for me was an opportunity and a progression. And sometimes, and I won't get too preachy, but sometimes things don't feel good, and that's important. You shouldn't be too comfortable for too long, and change isn't always a bad thing.
No, change is rarely always a bad thing. You're right. It's almost always a good thing.
Yeah, unless you know, death is considered change, because it's a bad thing.
Then you get to go to heaven, right?
Oh, well, that's right. That's right.
You get
reunited with your old dog you had when you were a kid. But here's the thing. It's important to move forward. Change is important, and for me, this was an opportunity. And I love radio, and that's why I've been here for 10 years. And the problem is there was no TV show that could ever trump this show.
No.
This show, for me, just got trumped by another radio show. Mm. And somebody said, you know, to me, who it was a, you know, guy just growing up in the valley, swinging a hammer and listening to, you know, Howard Stern, Loveline, Kevin and Bean, just listening to all those shows. Somebody said, well, Stern's going to step aside. We'd like you to step up.
How can you say no to that?
I can't say no to that.
No way, yeah. No way.
So as much as I love this show, I couldn't say no to that. And because of the funkified hours, we got a math problem.
And the eternal sort of culture of radio, which has it that if you're doing a radio show, it has to be live.
Well, it's
has
true,
to be live.
I know. So this will be my last week. And the other part is, well, why is this my last week? Because I don't start until the 1st or so.
Of what? Of January or December?
January.
Yeah.
I wanted to go, you know me.
Yeah.
I wanted to go straight through.
I'm sure.
They were like, we're paying you a ton of money. We need you to start focusing on this stuff. And it was really, the bosses said, once we announce it, you're out of there. Mm. And that was last week. And I said, well, we're not going to announce it on a Tuesday, and I'm out of there on a Thursday.
Just disappear.
Yeah. We need to let it breathe a little bit. So I stayed on one more week. I don't think I'm getting paid. I got a split, by the way. I stayed on one more week, and that is this week. Now, I didn't get into it yesterday or Sunday just because I didn't want to turn into a dirge the whole week. I figure 3 days.
You set these days aside just to do this.
Yeah, we cleared the Loveline calendar, and here we are. So if you want to talk about it, that's fine. We're going to do the show, and I think Thursday I'll deliver my farewell speech, put something together. There won't be a dry eye in the house.
How long is it going to be? I mean, two hours?
How long is the show? A little over 2 hours.
2 hour farewell speech?
A little over 2 hours. little over 2 hours until the satellite
so
pops
no,
out.
Let's,
yeah.
So let's clarify that night. That night, no love line calls, just only farewell calls.
Just well, if you want to do a love line call, that's fine.
Let's do farewell calls on Thursday.
All right. Well, if you know, I don't want to become too self-serving, and let me say this. So we'll play it by ear. I'll write down a few notes, a few ideas, a few thoughts that I have because I lie in bed and think about it. I really do. Other thing that I want to say, and the other thing that's important to say about this is, Loveline was here long before I got here, and it will be here long after I'm here. And I was just privileged to be a part of it. And I listened to this show long before I was a part of this show. I may have even called into this show
as a prank. But you got it on tape, remember?
Yeah, when I was like 19 from my crappy apartment.
Man, poor man.
Yeah, and I used to listen to Drew. And the reason I think we clicked so quickly and the reason it was a fairly seamless transition when I did come to do Loveline and do the TV show and the radio show is because I'd been hearing you for 10 or 12 years before I met you. Yeah. So for me,
it was already a relationship.
No big deal. It's like running into the skipper and having him go, "Oh, let me teach you the words to Gilligan's Island." And you're going, "Whoa, I'm way ahead of you, fat man. I'll tell you how it goes."
Right.
That's kind of how I was with this show. It's like, have you ever met Drew? I know Drew.
Known him for 10 years.
Yeah, that's how I felt. So, a couple important things. A, I don't know who's replacing me.
B, neither do I.
That's the beauty of radio, everybody. That is the beauty of radio. So, I have no idea who it is at this point. I've not even heard any names thrown around. I'm just saying that Drew, who's going on year number 23 on this program?
22, yeah.
Will
83. I remember New Year's Eve, 1984, in the old K-Rock studio, and I was already doing this show.
Right. Now, Drew did do it just on Sunday nights for the first 8 years.
Eight or 10 years, yeah.
Something like that, but went to five nights a week. Well, you're 5 nights a week for about 3 or 4 years before I showed up.
Yes, 4 years probably.
And I'm going on 10 and a half or something.
So it's really 15 years, 5 nights a week.
Right. So here's my point. This show will continue, and this show should continue.
Yeah.
And you should continue to listen, and you should continue to support it. And this show's important. And in a certain way, it's like this show's the news in a certain sense. It's like newscaster moves on, but as long as there's news happening,
right,
this show will be
that's
on the air.
That's a very interesting. I'll always remember that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was too great.
No, it's interesting.
I'd give it a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Anderson's going to miss you, Adam.
And here's who's
and I know you'll miss Anderson.
Who's Anderson?
You already forgot? He's a guy who used to operate the board. Oh, well,
this guy?
That's Marco.
Marcus,
I beg your pardon.
Whatever.
Shut up, Anderson. Just shut up and do the buttons, would you, please?
That was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You've had 8 years of
being
developing.
Antagonized by Anderson. Yeah, so my point, and then we're going to the phone calls, is this show needs to continue. It will continue. And whoever steps in to my position or my ex role on this show doesn't need to be ridiculed or compared to me. Mm. They just need to be embraced. If for anyone, for Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
Andrea?
Yeah?
19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, we were watching Nip Tuck tonight, and there was a woman on the show who said that her husband's semen, when you put it on her face, it made her skin better. We were just wondering if that was actually true.
Don't you love cable?
That's an old wives' tale that I know of no evidence that has any use to it.
Well, Drew, why dissuade the ladies from putting semen on their face?
It's just mucopolysaccharides. It's like rubbing snot on your face.
Here's the thing. It can't be put on your face. You understand, your hubby can't do it into a Dixie cup and then have it on your face. It's got to come right from the udder. Do you know what I'm
otherwise
saying?
It loses its effect.
It will lose its effect if he does it into a brawny paper towel and then you put it on your face. It has to come right. It's got to be still
first contact,
warm
first
from
contact.
The urethra. First contact. You understand?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I actually read an article, too, that said that it's good for your teeth. And
what? In what?
You
in
did
what
not.
Scientific
Something
journal?
About
in what magazine?
Decay. It was online. It was something about what house sex is good for you. Or,
well,
I thought it was kind of ridiculous. But.
It is ridiculous. Okay. Whenever you're sort of just reaching for things, it just come on.
I wasn't looking for it. I just
I don't mean you reach. I mean when the articles are sort of struggling to find. You know, you find this stuff with pod and find this stuff with semen. Anything, things and herbs. You know, things that have marginal effects. People will list the litany of wonderful benefits.
Everybody just close their eyes and think about all the BS they've heard over the last 20 years about, you know, salmon oil and about different herbs and ginseng and ma wang and all the stuff that was going to give you a boner and it was going to make you taller and it was going to make your breasts firmer and it was going to make you feel better.
And here's the deal.
You have some ginseng in the morning. It's going to pep you up. A coffee's bad for you. Red wine's bad for you. You must drink 8 ounces of water, eight tumblers of water every day. What? Now, go back and just look at all those headlines in your mind's eye. Just scroll through them. Anything?
Yeah.
Anything there?
No. And not only that,
anything?
Things like guys trying to get their erection to last longer, all the different herbs think they're going to do that. Viagra comes along, that all's gone.
Yeah.
When a medication's invented that actually does something,
shocking.
It all goes away.
All by the wayside. Yeah. Why does the stuff that's so effective completely go away as soon as there's an effective drug?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Now that's how it works. What about all the experimental things for HIV and AIDS?
Remember
what about all those? What happened to all the coffee enema? As soon as AZT came around, pow, everything's gone.
Yeah.
That's because they don't work.
Right.
Of course they don't work. If they work, people just keep using them.
Yeah, you wouldn't use the other stuff.
You'd be like, drugs. Why should I pay $25 a tablet for the AZT? I'm getting myself a Folgers enema in Mexico. It's working like a charm.
Yeah.
It's $8 a glass. It's cheap over there in Mexico. Sorry. I'm going to burn your hand. Yeah, that's all.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. All right. But really, if you look back at all those things about how Eskimos don't get heart disease and how the French, because they drink, think of all those medical news headlines. Just close your eyes and have them all scroll through your mind's eye and then tell me if any of them are effective, if any of them are still around today, did it make an S lick of difference in your life?
Right.
Or do you just get up and eat the same cereal, drink the same coffee, and go to the same crappy job? Here's when you feel good, everybody, when you're not depressed, when you like your job.
Right.
They never talk about that. When you're happy, you got energy, your back doesn't hurt, you're not tired, everything's great. Mm-hmm. All right. Evan?
Yes.
21?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I heard somewhere that I was diagnosed with diabetes when I was 12. And I heard that if you don't take care of it as you get older, it's harder to get an erection.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The nerves and the arteries to the penis get severely affected by uncontrolled diabetes.
We have to get some of those herbs from the Orient.
Well, are you planning to not control your... You'll also get heart disease and strokes. What's the plan, Evan?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to lead a healthy life. I mean, I'm trying to take care of it. I just recently went to the hospital for the first time because of it, actually.
So you weren't taking care of it, and you got diabetic ketoacidosis, right?
Yeah, I did.
All right, so you're not taking care of it.
Well, I mean, this is the first time since I was 12 that I went to...
All right, but you need to... It's not just letting... Ketoacidosis is an extraordinary, sort of your care of your diabetes is completely a disaster at that point.
How much damage can you cause yourself, irreparable damage, if you... have to go to the hospital a couple of times with diabetes when you're young?
That's my point. It's evidence that he's not controlling the diabetes generally, and finally spirals completely out of control. You have to try to restore your blood sugar to a normal level. You want to pretend, you want to make your body think it has the right amount of insulin going around all the time.
When you had diabetes 200 years ago, you just died?
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord has cured that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's faith. Clear that one.
Faith right. It's not guys in lab coats with beakers. Not them.
Well, science is just a way of looking at things. It's just another way of looking at things.
Yeah.
It's all relative, Adam. How dare you?
Yeah. I like the way science is great when your kid has diabetes or your kid needs a heart transplant. Science is great, but then you just go home and crack the Bible, crack the Torah, crack the Quran, and start worshiping something that got carved out of wood 2,000 years ago. That's what you do when you're at home, and then it's off off the Cedars to let the scientists save your kid's life. And then it's back to look at text written by drunk guys 2,000 years ago. Awesome. Makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Yeah. Jackie?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yeah. I just want to say, Adam, I'll miss you so much. And I'm so sad that Minka didn't get to be on your show one more time for you.
Minka, that would have been a great farewell for you, huh?
Number one Asian big boob queen.
Number Asian big boob queen.
At least you finally got to spend a night with her. I mean, on the air here.
Yeah. I like that she couldn't say big boob queen.
Let's hear it again. Anderson?
Number one, Asian big boob queen. Don't play tennis no more.
Yeah. Minka had these ginormous, crazy novelty boobs, and I ran into her at a strip club in Vegas. But she kept putting her bony knee into my groin, and then she wanted money, and so naturally we invited her on the show.
We
meaning me and my penis. Jackie?
Yeah.
Go ahead, baby doll.
Well, I've been listening to you guys for like 8 years, so I wanted your opinion on why I go after married men.
Is it when you find out that they're married that you go after them, or you go after them and later find out that they're married?
I've always known that they were married ahead of time.
All right, so you need to be with guys that are unavailable. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the Carrie Bradshaw syndrome.
Sex in the City.
Right.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you'd rather be longing for a guy that you can't have. And by the way, at the same time, outcompete or try to outcompete somebody else, mom.
Hmm. Yeah. Where's your dad? Did somebody cheat in your family?
Well, my dad was pretty much an alcoholic for the first 20 years of my life.
Mm. All right. And those were the unimportant years.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
the formative years are from 21 to 44.
Yeah.
Those are the formative years.
You're just celluloids. You're just a mass of...
Yeah, you're just so much teenager before that, yeah.
So, Jackie, so dad was an alcoholic. That explains a lot of why you would have issues with men, and it'd be threatening to be with a man that was actually available. So you can either A, cut it out and actually have a relationship with a guy, or B, go to Al-Anon or therapy.
Mm. When we come back, we're going to speak to... Gary?
Yeah.
Hooked up with cocktail waitress, now dating her daughter?
Sounds bogus to me. Just read the bogus.
Gary?
Yeah.
You're 20?
No, it is bogus.
Yeah, I'm 20.
You hooked up with a cocktail waitress?
Yeah, she works with me.
And now you're dating her daughter?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, we ended up working together, and about within the first 2 months I was bartending there, me and... the cocktail waitress ended up going out and get some drinks after work and went back to my apartment. Everybody left and we just ended up hooking up. Well, about 2 months ago, I was out at a bar with a couple of my friends, you know, went and met this girl up. So, you know, about 2 weeks ago-ish or so, she's like, oh, well, you know, you want to go over my house and I'll, you know, meet my parents. So we went over her house and her mom was actually the cocktail waitress that I had hooked up with. So, being that, you know, I saw her after that and stuff like that.
Hold on. Drew, you got a puss on.
I don't know.
What about the part where he goes on a date and a half with the chick? She's like, you want to come home to my home and meet my parents?
Suspicious.
Gary?
Yeah.
Not sure if we're buying the, do you want to come home and meet my parents after a date and a half?
Suspicious.
No. We had been dating for a while after that. It was about a month and a half or so after that we were dating that I finally went over to meet her parents.
How old is she?
She's 20 as well.
And how old's the mom?
Never came and saw her mom at work the entire time? Your mom worked there with you?
I'd never seen her at McCoy.
Oh, see, now it's bogus. Forget it. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. It's a good try, though.
Way to cram the name in there like that.
Yeah. Very subtle.
Yeah.
You know, I do what I can.
Seamless. All right, bogus.
My question is...
Bogus. No, bogus.
You have to complain.
Your question is nothing. My statement is bogus.
Okay.
All right.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
I'll tell you, one thing I'm not going to miss on this show is people's code of honor, which is completely went in the crapper when it comes to bogus phone calls. When we say the call, here's the deal. We do not have confirmation, of course, 100% confirmation that a call is bogus. We just can say, we can cry bogus, and you can cop to it like a man. But if you're just going to keep piling forward, we have no choice but to listen to it and take it seriously, especially since I've given the bogus goddamn code 350 times.
If
you
bogus.
Attempt to make a bogus call,
fine.
That's fine. If we call you on it, and we cry bogus, then you must fess up.
Then, that moment.
At that
right
moment.
Then,
do not keep piling
it.
Forward, you jackasses. Plus, I've made the proclamation so many times that I just assume, well, I made the bogus call, and he kept going forward. He knows the rules of the game.
Well, you can't, and some of these situations are so dangerous, you can't sort of not give them something.
Well, you have to sort of honor it and respect it. Yeah.
Bogus, it's just, it's...
Right. Yes, you can't call 911 and say there's a goblin on my roof and have him go, please give me a break, and go, no, seriously, get over here. They have to send a car over.
Right.
Okay.
And it takes away from all the people who actually have goblins on their roof.
That's right. The millions of Americans with goblins on their roof. So what happened to the goblin, Drew? Goblins used to be...
He's with Devil's Triangle and the Devil, and they're all in the same place.
Goblin, too, was like, what is a ghost? What is a goblin? Well, he's not a ghost. He's not Satan. He's not a gargoyle. But he's sort of a cross between Satan and a gargoyle and a joker and a clown and a ghost.
Satan's pet. Satan's minion.
And what was a goblin? Yeah. Okay. I think that's right. I think that's why Goblin. I know they had the Green Goblin over with Spider-Man, but I think Goblin has sort of gone the way of the dodo because people were having trouble defining the Goblin.
Yeah.
What is a Goblin?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
All right. The phone number for Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Yeah, Loveline. Woo! Get it on, baby. Get it on. This close to dropping trial. This close. We'll drop trial.
Hey, now, listen, I have a question.
Yeah.
Should we continue the Mahalo closure of the show in your honor? Mm. Or do you take it with you?
Mm. No. I don't care about that kind of stuff.
No, I mean, what would you like?
Well, no, here's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't care. Like, I don't have an opinion. I just mean... I'm not one of these guys that feels like I have intellectual property over things.
No, I understand.
I like it.
And would you like to leave that behind, or would you feel like,
I would look at it as an honor.
Yeah, okay.
I really would. I'll still use it, too.
Right, both use it.
I don't care. Right. Yeah, go ahead. I got no problem with that. I would look at it as a little tip of the hat
homage.
To the Iceman. Yeah. And then 20 years from now, it'd
You'll
be like,
me.
Who came up with that Mahalo thing, poor man?
Wow.
I thought that was Corolla, and Anderson would be like,
Ricky.
No, it was definitely Rackman or Poor Man, or Third Guy, never hosted the show.
I think it was
show,
Swedish Fish.
Wasn't
Swedish Fish.
Yeah, it was just... It
Swedish
was
Eagle.
The Swedish Eagle.
That's what I meant. Yep.
The Swedish Fish.
What the hell was that?
Jed the Fish, Swedish Eagle.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Swedish Eagle was on the show very beginning, 82.
Yeah, I was trying to, I was trying to think when I was telling people about this show, I was like, well... Poor Man hosted it. Ricky Rackman hosted it. And there's a couple other guys who hosted it.
Scott Mason. Hosted it.
One of the greatest radio personalities of all time. Scott Mason and the Swedish Eagle.
For right at the beginning.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And you were there.
I was asked to come on to help them basically make it sort of a community service show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in medical school, and they're like, "Hey, get that guy. Maybe he can help us out."
So let's just take a little walk down memory lane here. But Drew started hosting the show this before Drew was married.
Before I was a doctor.
Before he was a doctor. Medical school, single, banging the bejesus out of everything that moved in a candy striper outfit, doing tons of medical grade coke. Now. triplets, all in medical school themselves.
Not yet.
But
got a reminded body. But
starting to think, taking a calculus class or so, or getting to it, getting close to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Gerald Ford was in office.
It was the beginning of the Reagan years.
No one ever heard of the Taliban.
No, it was an exuberant time. I mean, we'd just come out of the '70s.
Yep.
And it was sort of like this sort of explosion of enthusiasm that came with the whole alternative music thing.
Paint was still drying on the World Trade Centers.
Yeah, that's right. No, those were 6 years old.
Trouble in the Middle East, but
there was trouble,
you know,
but a different kind. Begin and well, Israel and Egypt had made up.
Yeah, for 10 minutes.
Know. No, they've been fine ever since.
Oh, Egypt. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking Israel, Palestine. Yeah, they're cool. Both of them.
No,
are
it was
lights,
it was an interesting period of history. And here's the part that you really got to take in. We were calling AIDS gay-related intestinal disease syndrome.
GRIDS.
We were calling it GRIDS. HIV had not been identified. They had no idea what was causing this thing. The syndrome of AIDS had not been characterized yet.
Yeah.
The term safe sex hasn't been invented.
Mm-hmm.
And what motivated me to stay on the air, one of the things was
money.
No, it was no money then. Was saying, look, there's this thing coming. You need to know. I can see it. We were taking care of it at the county hospital.
Potential payday.
And, you know, everyone was freaked out about herpes. And I kept saying, you're talking about a skin rash as compared to a deadly illness. You need to pay attention to what's coming here.
Was herpes making its way onto the scene at that time, too, or had it been around for a while?
It'd been around for a couple of years. And I remember right around the time I was getting started, it was on the front page of Newsweek.
Wow.
There was a story about it, and people were flipping out about it. And I kept saying, you don't understand. There's this thing we're seeing at the hospital. This is something to worry about.
So AIDS was GRIDS, mm-hmm. gay-related intestinal disease. Mm-hmm. Good trivia answer, mm-hmm. by the way. And, Drew, by the way, how dare they call it gay-related when anybody could get AIDS?
Then
how dare you? I'll not listen to these lies, Drew. Straight people have just as monogamous heterosexual couples have just as good a chance as guys manning the glory hole, Drew. And I'll not listen to anything else because I know you cannot judge.
Fair enough.
You cannot judge.
And by the time I was a fourth year student, that had all kind of come into focus.
The GRIDS.
Yeah. No, the AIDS. He was starting to call it AIDS.
Well, how long was it GRIDS before it became AIDS?
Year or two.
I remember when it was called GRIDS. It might have been a couple of years.
It might have been 5 or 6 years, but in my training, it was like a year or two, and then boom, we got it in focus here.
I always think of those poor companies, AIDS, the diet candy.
Yeah.
There was also an AIDS ambulance
right.
company,
they
too.
They all had to change their name.
And it's like, I imagine somebody coming into work that morning and going, bad news, fellas. Yeah. You know, GRIDS, gay-related intestinal disease. Oh yeah, no man, that is some scary ass right there. I mean, that'll drop you in 4 months. Yeah. Well, guess what? Its new name is. What? Look out your window, Phil. See the 400 vans you got parked out there? Yeah. What's it say on the side? AIDS. That's the new name.
Enjoy.
I would be like, why do you have to change your name? Well. GRIDS sounds pretty good to me.
Let's just call it RIDS.
Let's go GRIDS or just call it, don't go gay, but go great related intestinal disease or something. Just use the G for something else. We got GRIDS. You can't change GRIDS. Yeah. We're going AIDS. Guys are making AIDS diet candy, AIDS everything. There's just tons of AIDS stuff rolling around because AIDS was a good thing. Yeah. You want your ambulance company called AIDS.
Hearing AIDS.
Right.
Aiding things. No.
Yeah, somebody needed to give AIDS a little thought before they just let that genie out of the bottle.
I know.
So many good companies.
Well, actually, what we're actually calling it HTLV-3 back then. Remember? Human T-cell lymphotropic virus.
That I don't remember. Yeah. I do remember GRIDS.
Yeah.
Point is this stuff had just been brought over here by the monkeys that the CIA infected exterminate all people
and
of color.
I went through years of that goddamn Spin magazine putting out just propagandistic s.
Ooh, close.
About how it was all, you know, invented by the Gallo Institute and this was all nonsense and it never started. Oh, for God's sakes.
Right. Right.
I mean, really, the print, I've always had trouble with print ever since that.
Right.
It was so irresponsible.
And here's what happened. This thing killed people. It was a death sentence, and enough drug companies spent enough money on R&D, and they developed products.
Become a chronic illness now.
Become a chronic illness.
I look at Magic Johnson.
See, yes.
And
I,
all right?
I know how all you folks hate the man, and I know you hate the big pharmaceutical companies, but your gay buddies ain't in the ground, are they? They're living with it. So kiss their ass. That's it. They saved lives. And what a shocker. They want to be compensated because they spent $2 billion on research and development. That's their business. That's it.
They're almost their right.
You don't have to give crap away. You don't have to spend a few million dollars on research and development and then give everything away to Africa. That's not how business works. And by the way, the day you force them to do that, that's the day they stop doing the research and development. That's the day the gays die. Write that down, Drew. It's a great song. The day the gays die. So, the man
bye,
went.
Bye.
That's right. The man went to work on this problem.
Yeah.
It was GRIDS. It was a death sentence. It was AIDS. It was a death sentence.
And if people could please put it in context, syphilis, it took something like 4,000 years to characterize and figure out what caused it and come up with a treatment. AIDS took less than a decade.
Less than a decade.
For something to develop, a characterized, causative agent isolated, and effective treatments developed. Unprecedented in the history of mankind.
Right. And who do you think came up with that? Your hippie herbalist buddies? Huh?
Must have been from the Orient.
Must have been from the Orient. Must have been, because those folks, they don't miss over there with their herbs. That's right. That's right. What do you think cured it? Clean living? Green tea? Huh? Enemas? What about a nice enema? Yeah. Did that clear it? Or is it just a bunch of drugs from the man? Of course. When you really get something, then you really need to cure it. And you need to give it drugs from the man. Not a bunch of, you know, Eye of Newton, Horn of Rhino, you idiots. All right. But it should be free, shouldn't it, Drew?
Of course. You're
right. Should be giving everything away for free. Pfizer up, John. They should be giving their product away. All right, Drew. So AIDS back then, or GRIDS, how long did you have to live if someone came in with that?
Well, we would tell them, we literally would tell them if they came in with their first, what was called pneumocystis pneumonia, we would tell them you have 6 months.
And
we were never wrong, by the way.
And that is...
That was optimistic.
Now, that's if the HIV went to AIDS.
But you're right. Right.
But pretty immediately,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and we wouldn't really know...
The difference between it.
Yeah, people would only present with the stuff, you know, with the goods, with the
and
wasting
people,
syndrome.
You guys must have been freaked out that these guys were going to sneeze on you and you were going to get something.
On the contrary, we had this sort of... esprit that we knew it was only sexually transmitted and blood. So we wouldn't wear gloves. We would just go at
it.
Really? I'd be up to my elbows and cerebral spinal fluid and stuff.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden we started going, guys, you know, maybe that cuticles thing, I mean, it's pretty serious stuff. And we had no idea about viral loads and that kind of thing. We actually figured they were less infected when their immune system was dropped out. We figured they'd be less contagious. We just figured that. Wrong.
So originally AIDS patients or GRIDS patients or HIV patients started showing up in the hospitals, you figured, look, you got to be getting it on sexually
We were trying to stem the tide of hysteria.
Right.
And saying, look, we're not worried about it. We're going to be here with our gloves off.
Right.
You guys need to calm down about this. Remember the crazy stories about policeman got spit on in his eye, and therefore we were like, no. Look, we're gonna take, you know, no one ever got. Then we got a little more rational about it.
Yeah.
Stayed reasonable. You know.
But it does make sense that guys are getting it from vigorous cornholing, and why should you get it if you're just putting the tongue depressor on the guy?
We had already identified the fact that you had to have sex, had to have blood contact. I mean, that was clear about it. You know?
All right. We will take ourselves a break, and then we'll take some phone calls after this.
Loveline.
Okay, wait. My hair. Oh.
We'll be right back.
Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Adam, it's your show. You pick.
Hmm.
I'm feeling wild. Normally, I pick the calls. I put a little piece of paper up there.
Male enhancement drugs. Man, those never work.
There's a girl now, Janet. It's the only girl up there. So
Janet?
Well, Crystal's up there, too.
I'm going Janet.
Yeah.
Janet?
Hey.
What's up?
Yeah, hey. Hey, hi. By the way, tomorrow on Last Couple Nights, do you want to play tapes of stuff from the past?
Yeah, might as well do a little walk down memory lane.
Anderson. Drew, what are you doing?
I'm creating some work for you. But here's what I suggest, is you just pull out the sub cartoon and the
I don't even know what you're talking about
there. No, the cartoons, the Michael Naren cartoons, just play those.
Yeah,
you know, I can just do that right off the internet. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the by the way, if you want to see any
Chief
of those animated things, you just go to the Loveline Companion, and I'll be giving a special thanks and shout out to those good people too, because they've been big fans of the show and supporters of the show. Well, the guy does it, but then the people support it, and the people are on it, and the people are leaving messages. All right.
Anderson, stay positive, right?
Stay positive. I'm very positive.
That's the only part I look forward to.
I know you're going to miss Adam. You always said you liked him. He was funny. You liked working on the show because he was entertaining.
I never said such things.
You said that.
Was I drunk?
Yes. Well, when, I don't know.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean,
Janet?
Yeah?
20?
Hello?
Hello. Here we go.
What's up?
I was kind of wondering if it's possible for me to have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes, it's possible. What's happening?
Well, I blacked out last night for the first time.
Were you drinking?
And no, I wasn't drinking.
You blacked out, and did you do anything weird while you were blacked out?
Yeah, I threw everything. I threw anything I could. I was throwing just hangers at one point, I guess. I finally fell asleep. My boyfriend held me down, and I finally fell asleep, and when I woke up, sorry, my heart's racing talking about it. Everything was everywhere, and I was like...
Oh, Janet. It was a good story.
It was good until she dropped the F-bomb. But let's just say I will not use the F-bomb. I will replace the F-bomb with the word...
Fudge.
I was going to say fudge, but I was looking for something that's a little more realistic. But I'm trying to think of one... What is something that starts with an F that's just one syllable?
What the...
Fridge.
Fridge, yeah.
Is that one syllable?
Yeah. Fridge.
Yeah. It's a long one-syllable word.
Yeah. Flick.
Okay. I'll say what the fridge, the way she said it.
Okay.
Because we hear the S-bomb and the F-bomb sort of sneak in, but we rarely have it just come knocking on the front door, come right through into the entry hall. You know, it usually goes in through the back or in through the kid's window.
This was the main course.
Yeah. She was like, and I had a black guy start throwing stuff all over the place. And I woke up the next morning and I looked around and I was like, what the fridge?
Oh, yeah.
Now, look, a lot of people don't look at that as a sort of indicator of stupidity. I do. When people either don't know where they are, you want to know what stupid is? You know when you turn on Cops and you see the guy in his underpants and he's got a wiffle ball bat and he's holding the cops at bay on his front lawn?
That's another tape we need to hear, by the way. Yes.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
He doesn't know where he is.
It's also intoxicating.
It's also
unregulated aggression, too. When people have a really serious aggression, it comes out.
Yeah, but let me say this, too. I go to Jimmy Kimmel's house every Sunday. Mm. I sit there amongst a bunch of guys who put down 6-7 beers. Nobody jumps up on top of the TV set with a bat or the fireplace poker and tries to take other people on.
But you had friends like that, remember? Would run around the hall crazy.
No, that's true. I did.
Yeah.
Janet.
Yeah.
Please.
God, are you dumb?
Please.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So obviously you were abused. Speak slowly because, again, when you're dumb and you start, it's like jumping off a skateboard going down a hill. You take a step and a half, face plant. Go slowly. Your mouth will move faster than your brain.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Janet.
I was abused. I was sexually abused by my brother.
All right. Ooh. So having had experiences like that, you know, I don't want to say guarantees you, but it sets you up very likely to have post-traumatic stress type of issues, dissociative disorders, unregulated aggression, mood disturbances, personality issues, and, of course, chaos in your relationship.
How long did this go on for?
I honestly don't remember much about it. Mm. It happened for 2 years, supposedly, after I confronted my brother about it recently through counseling. And what he said was it was between ages 3 and 5 for me. And my mom figured it out because I was lying and telling people stories about random things.
Was your brother in the counseling session with you?
When my mom figured it out, I guess he had to move out and went through counseling and did jail time and yada, yada, yada. But
well done.
And then I went through counseling for quite some time. And then when I got to puberty and started having sex, it was like I finally realized what he had done. And so we had to go back through counseling because I couldn't even be in the same room as him. Like, I had forgave him when I was younger because I didn't really understand.
Yeah.
The wiring, the issues that sets up really develop fuel when the puberty hits.
Yeah.
And what you experienced the other night was not so much post-traumatic stress disorder so much as a dissociative episode. And dissociation is how children manage these overwhelming experiences like sexual abuse. And it affects how your brain develops. And so you have to go back into counseling and work specifically on these kinds of issues.
No kids in the meantime. Let me just say this again one more time. We need to punish these people. And the reason these people need to be punished is for this reason. You shouldn't be punished for the year or the episode or the whatever. You should be punished because you have a 20-year-old adult woman now who's still reliving this horror. Mm-hmm.
And we'll do so, and we'll bring it upon many, many other people.
That's right. Like the Ace Man. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Yeah. System of a Down. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Now, I got to tell you something, Drew. We didn't talk about the changing of the time over the last few days.
It's weird.
It's good. We're always into it.
Because it gives us that extra hour.
Yeah, we come
I'm
in
very
here.
For that.
Yeah. 6 months ago, we come in here. There's a funeral going on because we lost an hour on a Sunday.
Right.
Can't believe it. I go to bed with a S-eating grin on Saturday night because I know when I wake up the following morning at 9, it's going to be 8.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm loving it. But let me tell you where I got jammed. I have one of these clocks, and I would suggest everyone get these things. They're cheap. They're $25 or whatever. It actually projects the time on the ceiling.
Yeah.
And it's nice because you don't have to roll over and find the alarm clock kind of thing. So I will check this thing 300 times a night because I don't sleep right. I'll watch it, you know, it's 4:31, it's 4:35, it's 4:41, it's 4:54. I go right on through. Mm. And then sometimes in the morning, that's the same thing. I literally check it like 12-minute intervals. I was looking at this thing laughing. I'm like, 7:30. Yeah, right. 6:30. That's what time it is. That's my whole thing was, no matter what it says up there, I can just go ahead and deduct an hour. So I'm lying in there at 9:30. I'm like, but it's 8:30. Feeling good about myself until my wife points out, no, it changed on its own at 4 a.m. And I was like, what? Yeah, the clock changes. You know, it's a smart clock. It gets an impulse from a satellite or something. And it just go ahead and changes the hour for you. And I'm like, so it's really 10:10?
Pointing at the ceiling.
Yeah. Mocking me. Damn you! What's that thing where the camera jib shot pulling away from me? Birds flying away.
No!
I'm staring at the ceiling like, well, it's 9:10, right? Nope, 10:10. All of a sudden, I'd been raped.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
But at least you got to think, positive. At least it's not 11:10. Got that?
No, but whatever I got out of that hour was completely taken away, nullified by me looking at this stupid thing on the ceiling since 4:30 in the morning and laughing each hour.
Oh.
So pathetic.
Well, that's pathetic.
God damn, that is pathetic. I don't even think I'm going to talk about that. It's so pathetic. I'm going to keep that to myself. Where were we?
You go, Dave's fine.
Dave?
Yeah.
All right. Dave?
What's up, guys?
24?
Yep.
What's up?
I wanted to know if any of the quote-unquote male enhancement drugs on the market, like Enzyte, actually work.
No.
Viagra works. That's it.
Nothing works. Here's the thing that works. Surgery.
Levitra, Viagra, and Cialis will give you an erection that doesn't go away.
The boner drugs work, and the surgeries work.
Surgery gives you about 30% more girth and about another inch and a half length.
And look, it's one of these things, too, where it's like, wait, look, if you're willing to hook yourself up to some 2,000 PSI pump for 4 hours a night, you might get an extra 3/16 of an inch on the dork length. Or if you want to just go ahead and hang dumbbells from it and walk around, you might get a little something. On the other hand, if you put yourself on a rack, if you slept on a rack and stretched yourself, over the course of 20 years, you might go from 6'1 to 6'1 and a quarter. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not saying that you can't get an extra half inch if you tie weights to your junk, but...
For what ends? And it almost without exception means you have something wrong with your self-esteem.
Yes.
Or unless you really have a serious anatomic problem, because 85% of men are in this 5.5 to 6.5 range.
Man, I feel sorry for those dudes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, and they manage to get laid. And it's not like, here's the thing that always drives me nuts with the dudes and the dorks and the chicks. Chick don't know how you're hung before you get her home and really doesn't usually care.
We don't get calls every night about that, not being the right size.
Saying the guy's too small.
If we get the call rarely when guys are really like, you know, pinky fingernail kind of thing.
Here's the deal. When you're out meeting women, your job is to act like a guy who symbolically has a huge penis.
Right,
and I say
symbolically,
don't act like the guy who's self-conscious about his penis. That guy doesn't get laid. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
The guys with the small penises aren't getting laid, are not getting laid, not because they have a small penis, but because they act like a guy with a small penis.
They don't, right. The penis is just a symbol. Just a symbol.
That's right. All right.
Talk to Matt.
Matt, all right. Matt.
Hello?
24.
Yes.
What's up?
Yeah, Adam, I just like to point out, in case, I don't know if you read the entertainment news, but recently, you know, your Too Late show where you had Andy Dick and you played that game, Gay, Straight, or Dead?
Yeah.
You might have influenced someone to come out of the closet, because have you seen that George Takei just came out of the closet?
Yeah.
What's this now?
George Takei, well, Andy Dick was on the show last week or the week before, and we decided to play a little game show called Gay, Straight, or Dead.
Okay.
I named the celebrity. You tell me, gay, straight, or dead.
This is where the whole Richard Dawson thing came up?
Richard Dawson, the old Family Feud host, came up. And it was a little bit confusing if you picked the right people.
Yeah.
And we sort of had fun because we'd pick, you know, we'd pick Richard Simmons and say, no, straight. We called his publicist today. He promised he was straight. So we picked George Takei, who was Sulu from Star Trek.
Right.
And you remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
And Gay, Straight, or Dead. And I think Andy Dick said dead. And we were like, nope, straight. He's alive and straight. And then 2 days later, at age 90. Or whatever he is.
He comes out
as, oh, by the way, everyone who doesn't care, I'm gay. So it's a weird thing that you're playing some stupid trumped up game called Gay, Straight, or Dead. And one of the guys who's 80 years old comes out and decides to let everyone know 2 days later he's gay.
Well, maybe you had an influence.
I never, ever think that way.
I know.
Pure coincidence.
Yeah.
But interesting and nice of you to bring it up, Matt.
Thanks.
That's
it? The reason I called in is I've had an on-again, off-again problem with insomnia for basically as long as I can remember. I mean, not the complete where it's like I'm up all night, you know, not sort of like, you know, the movie kind of insomnia where I have extreme trouble getting to sleep. And the funny thing about it wasn't until like it got serious when I was in college that it started, like, I started actually checking it out, wondering if there was any problems. Well, checking it out is kind of wrong. I never actually saw anyone. But when I was young, I remember, like, the times I'd ask my parents, I was like, how am I supposed to get to sleep? And they'd be like, well, you just kind of lie down and you close your eyes. And I'm like, damn, that's what I'm trying.
How much sleep do you need a night?
I need, like, between 6 and 8 hours because if I get less than,
Abe Lincoln only slept for 10 minutes a night. Donald Trump sleeps for less than that. I hate those blowhards.
I know.
And let me hold on. don't you hate those a-holes? And how does that ever really work? Like, they're like, George Washington slept for 3 hours a night. And it's like, and they always name these greats, Thomas Edison, whoever. Now I think they'll say guys like Trump and stuff. But hold on. Did they go to bed at 4 a.m.? And get up at 7 a.m.?
No, I know guys like that.
Or
they're all surgeons now. And they would go to bed at 2 and get up at 6.
For a period of time to go to work or whatever.
For years.
They'd sleep 14 hours on a Sunday, though.
These guys didn't seem to need it. It's weird. No. Some people don't need them.
I'll tell you, I've always been fascinated by this. It's one of those things, like, to me, it's like the razor blades in the candy thing. Like, really? Whoever got one of those? And what do you mean?
There were a lot of
them.
There were a bunch of them in medical school. And they were not walking. If that were me, I would walk around tired all the time. No.
Well,
not tired.
They were getting in the pharmaceuticals. But the point is, a lot of nose candy back then. It was the 80s, true. My point is people can rally. Actually, guys can rally. Chicks can't do this, but guys will do this. I've done it. You've done it. I've done it for extended periods of time. You have too. But let's face it, 3 days in a row of sub-4 sleep nights, and you're walking around like a zombie.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't trust. Here's all I'm saying. These greats from the past, what did they do? Go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, wake up at 1 a.m.?
Most of them had bipolar disorder.
Right.
Most of them are manic and all that. And people, when they are manic, sleep a couple hours a night.
No, I understand that, but there are people that say I didn't sleep a wink. You know, my wife will say I didn't sleep a wink all night. And I'm like, I looked at you 5 times, you're sawing logs.
Yeah.
It feels like they're
right,
not sleeping.
That is sleep hygiene. All my addicts get that when they get sober for 6 months. We can watch them snore for 8 hours, and they will get up and go, I didn't sleep at all last night. And what happens is they have frequent arousals. Every 3 minutes, like you, they're looking at the ceiling.
Right.
And they have arousals, and they don't have deep or REM sleep. They don't have normal kinds of sleep cycles.
Yeah,
so it feels
it's
like
crappy
nothing.
Sleep, but your head hit the pillow at midnight and lifted off at 7:45, and let's not call that 2 hours sleep.
Right, it's not.
All right. I'm just saying I don't know that these people exist.
But
I know they can exist for a period of time. I just want to strangle all the people that do that. I would like to add another few hours in the day so that I could sleep more.
So Matt's none of these guys because he needs 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Now, my question for Matt is, was when you were a little kid, was there a lot of chaos or trauma or drama going on in the house when you were at night, when you were in bed?
I wouldn't say so relative to most of your callers. I mean, not a lot of chaos when I was younger. When I got older, I got kind of, I ended up becoming more like my father, which is more sort of, I kind of got more tense. And, I mean, that's sort of the way I am now. I'm very, very kind of internal in how
I deal with it. You have an anxiety disorder. And there's many reasons that people have trouble going to sleep. Depression is one. Anxiety disorder is another. A common one is nocturnal trauma. If you were sexually abused in your bed or your dad would come home drunk and burn the house down kind of thing. That's stuff that would make sleep permanently altered.
Did you not feel safe when you went to bed?
No, that was not the case.
All right, he's described really kind of an anxiety disorder, which is a common cause of insomnia, and that's something that can be treated. The SSRIs treat that very effectively, and if you really have trouble, why not check it out?
The serotonin reuptake inhibitors?
Yes, that can help with anxiety. And
really? Well, that helps with anxiety, but is that with the sleep?
If you can treat the anxiety, the sleep will come on normally.
I think I'm a bad sleeper because I was frightened when I would go to bed as a kid. I was always on guard.
Because you didn't have a safe home. You didn't have the right parenting stuff.
My house was dark and ugly and scary and weird, and my mom would lock herself in a room, and I felt like I had to sleep with one eye open in case there was trouble.
Right.
I think I kept that vigilance. Yes. And that's
why. Maintained to this day.
I notice everything.
Uh-huh.
Now, where are we going, Drew?
And there are many other psychiatric symptoms associated with sleep disturbances and bipolar disorder, or even things like, you know, certain, like you're talking about, ADD type things where people have super vigilance about things.
Yeah. Ooh, let's talk to Russ. Russ?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yeah.
It says on the screen that you suspect your dad wants to molest your yet to be born daughter.
No, that's not really right.
Has she been conceived yet?
No, she's going to be born in about 2 months. I suspect that he may have, I think he may have abused me. I'm not sure. But basically my dad and I don't, spend a lot of time together. But he has expressed that when she's born, he's going to be around a lot. And, I actually want to just flat out tell him that he cannot Well, I certainly don't want him to ever be alone with her, but...
Okay. Well, let's try to break this down.
Why is he not in your life now?
Yeah.
No, he is. He lives an hour from me. I see him, every few months. We get along fine. I'm just not close with my family, really, so we don't talk on the phone, and I don't see him regularly. Maybe I'll see him once every 2 or 3 months.
Why just keep it that way and keep him under careful supervision, that's all.
Well, but he has told me he's going to be around a lot.
Yeah, well, you're a big boy, and you can determine, it's your household, you can determine how much he's around.
Okay, but what I want to know is, again, it's just a suspicion. I have memories of things, and I don't want to really confront him, and actually, what I'm worried about is that I'm wrong, that he never did anything too serious. And is there a way with therapy or with hypnosis or something where I can actually find out for sure?
Because the easy answer is no. The easy answer is no.
You got to come out here, and we got to thump you like a melon. We can tell
based on your relationships and your sexual orientation, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. If your father sexually molested you, you should be a basket case.
Right.
That is a tough one to get past.
Right. You should have a lot of confusion about your sexual identity. You should have difficulty being close to people. It should feel overwhelming and threatening.
Male-on-male experimentation in the high school.
Yeah.
You monkeying around with other kids when you were younger sexually?
Right.
Any of that?
I did a little bit of that, yeah.
Ooh.
Little of that when you were younger. What about after that?
I've thought about it when I got older, but I've never actually did anything.
Could it be that the kid-on-kid stuff was perpetrated on you? And maybe that's where some of your stuff confusion has come from?
You mean another child on me?
Yeah, maybe the child was the one that first... was the one that actually acted out sexually on you. Maybe it wasn't your dad.
I really don't know who it could have been. I mean...
Well, you said you did it to other children.
No. I didn't really hurt anyone, but I remember, dry humping, when I was 11, some 9-year-old girl. I remember kind of, rubbing against her and stuff.
Yeah. We'll label that abnormally normal.
The thing about my father is, I don't know if it's... I know it's not normal what he did, but the memory...
Hold on a
second. There's a bogus quality.
Quality.
Just got it from the moment he started talking.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what, but he's good, though. He's good, so we got to go with it.
He's good, but not so good that we both weren't thinking bogus.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just really... This is a kind of... I'm nervous.
Yeah.
But can I just tell you about my father? Because I don't know...
Here comes.
The thing that I know for sure is that he used
Mason jar.
Hold on a second. Here's how you know it's not coming, Drew. You announced it was coming.
You're right.
Now I know it's a real call.
You're right.
Drew made his proclamation.
All right, Russ, what's that again about your dad?
Well, I used to wake up in the middle of the night, and he would have his tongue in my ear or on my neck, and he would be kissing and sucking my neck and my ear. So I don't think there's anything like rape, but to me that... I don't want some. Is that, I mean, that's not normal, I know, but that's not necessarily.
I declare this bogus.
Abuse.
I declare it bogus, too.
Well.
We both declare it bogus, Russ.
Well.
And here.
I understand the Geneva Conventions of Bogosity, and I'm not. It's not bogus.
All right, so we'll keep going.
Okay, we understand now, the convention of Bogosity. That if this is bogus, you are liable to be crushed by a crane tomorrow if you continue down this karmic path.
100% true.
Okay. Well, then we will continue.
All right. So,
now, it sounds to me like your dad did some drinking.
He didn't know drinking. He's a very straight-laced. He doesn't even smoke.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Exactly.
He's not diagnosed, but I think it's pretty clear to me that he has some kind of OCD or something because he does things with counting and.
Nibbling.
I wonder if he's schizophrenic. I mean, it's a bizarre act.
All I could think of was the nibbling on the ear and the licking on the neck, which is a guy just came in sloppy drunk.
Yeah, just who was next to him.
It's just a guarantee. He's just definitely not drunk.
Tell me about this counting and ritualistic stuff.
He's a hoarder. He hoards things. Garbage.
Yeah, I bet you he's schizophrenic. I bet it's a low-level schizophrenia.
My dad's a hoarder, too. He hoards air. Open his wallet. Poof. Poof. Big breeze hits you right in the face.
Oh, must be nice. Refreshing.
Poof.
He's an air hoarder.
So having a dad...
My dad had one of the greatest, most extensive collections of air on the West Coast. Oh, as a kid, it was a joy. Walking into the living room, seeing his air. Walking into the garage, seeing his air collection.
That's good.
Having him open his wallet. Poof.
Air. Boom. Air where the television should be.
Air where the stereo where should have been there. Hey, I could remember playing a little Pop Warner or high school football, looking off into the stands. Air. Poof. Just air where my dad would be standing. Yeah, what a collection of air. Awesome.
Unfortunately, not even hot air.
No, just air.
Just, more vacuum than air.
Just air. Air when it came to travel, air when it came to hobbies.
Yeah.
Air for everything.
It's good.
What a collection.
I'm curious about mom. Russ, what was your mom like?
She kind of ignored us.
What did your dad do for a living?
Works. He drove a forklift.
Wow.
A warehouse.
Tell me about mom again. What was she like?
Yeah. Well, you can't drive a forklift in a china shop.
Not how she
treated
you. It's
got to be a warehouse.
Not how she treated you. What was she like? What kind of person was she?
I mean, she talks about it now like she was a great mom, but she ignored us. She locked herself in her bedroom and talked on the phone, and we were out alone together.
So your mom was depressed. Would that be right?
Definitely.
And she poor woman was married to your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's the thing, Russ. You have not done anything that would lead us to believe that you were really traditionally overtly sexually
explicitly
abused.
Yeah. Right.
Your mom sounds like she was abandoning
and depressed. That's traumatic.
Your dad seems like he probably could have been medicated for whatever he was on.
Was he ever like we ever talking to himself or responding to things that weren't there?
I think he would mumble to himself.
I'm going to go ahead and label the family as effed up but harmless.
Yeah, and Russ actually sounds okay, but he's got anxiety because he was living in that sort of unsafe, chaotic, unavailable environment, and he's got to sort of get a handle on that.
Well, here's the thing too. Sometimes people are horrible parents, and there's nothing to hang your hat on. Well, your dad was horrible.
Well, he's mentally ill, too. I mean, his mental illness.
Yeah. And that's, in a way, it's hard to blame him.
Yeah.
But there is that kind of thing where it's like, your dad was a horrible dad? What, was he an alcoholic? No. What, did he sexually abuse you? No. He physically abuse you? No. Verbally abuse? No. Well, how bad could he have been? Still pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Russ is looking for something to hang his hat on.
Well, he's used
and it won't stay.
He's listened to our show where we mostly talk to trauma survivors. And there's ways to be traumatized sort of chronically that don't include these sort of explicit events.
So I would say to Russ, who I like because he's not going by Russell, he's Russ, I would say have your child do not make the same mistakes your parents made with you
on
your child.
Your parents deserve supervision when they're around the kids.
Yeah, but sure. I wouldn't look at your father as a threat.
Predator. He's not a predator. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Loveline, Adam Carolla, and Dr. Drew. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rachel likes older men, specifically her 40-year-old boss.
Who?
Rachel?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're 20?
I'm 20.
And? Mm. And?
For probably as long as I can remember, I've just been, like, super attracted to older men, like, much older men.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, like, what the heck is going on, because that's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Your boss is 40?
Yeah.
What kind of work do you do?
Like, at a sandwich store, kind of cafe.
He must be something, like a 40-year-old sandwich store owner.
There's got to be a word that sort of is a notch above mover and shaker that can describe this guy. Trendsetter,
dapper,
entrepreneur.
He's hot.
Now I'm talking from a business standpoint.
Just
you know
in terms
what I mean?
Of the substance of this man.
Oh my God, yeah. Sandwich shop. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, He's like in shape and stuff.
Does he own the place?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you want to give us some clues? Did your dad abandon the family when you were 10?
What do you guys do? You do fries or you do that cop out potato chip stuff?
No, we're all homemade. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's Seattle.
You guys have coleslaw?
No.
No. How dare you?
What kind of? Hold on a second.
Good coleslaw is great.
Bad coleslaw is great.
Let me tell you something. Bad coleslaw is just mayonnaise.
I don't care. It's just a bunch of corn syrup, vinegar, and mayonnaise. It still tastes good. I'll tell you how you know bad coleslaw is good. The Colonel's coleslaw is excellent, and you know it's horrible coleslaw.
Right, you'll eat it, yeah.
Oh, you'll eat it.
Yeah.
Kentucky Fried Chicken has great coleslaw, and I'm sure it's horrible coleslaw.
Right, right.
And if that coleslaw can be good, any coleslaw can be good. Well, that's how you know coleslaw is good.
You're right.
I am so tired of the homos that have hijacked this town and got rid of all the real food. Do you know what's happened? Here's what happened. Every gay guy in Los Angeles has opened a restaurant or a sandwich place or a cafe, and now they stop serving real food.
It's all sort of designer food.
Oh, hoity-toity.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll go in there, and it's like, what do you got for soup today? What's the soup special? They're like, well, we got the gazpacho and we got the ginger carrot. Of course, nothing has, you know, there's no animal products. It's all cold. We serve cold soup. The ginger carrot is a broth. It's really, well, it's really just it's a clear cold liquid. It's essentially water with a carrot floating in it. And the gazpacho, that's carrot ginger too. We just call it gazpacho. It's like, did you guys got any beef and barley or vegetable or how about a chicken noodle?
Lentil.
No. Just we got the ginger carrot. Okay, how about some coleslaw with that sandwich? No, we don't have coleslaw. We got like a Caesar salad. We have an endive and grass clippings and greens.
Walnuts.
Yeah, you got some. Yeah, with candied walnuts.
And grapes.
And grapes and green apples. Okay, you got something though. It's got a little cheese on it and some iceberg lettuce and maybe a little chicken or something. No.
Cheese, you know, has tyramine and estrogens, and therefore we only serve the most healthy organic products.
Oh, could we get a straight guy to buy a sandwich place in this goddamn city so I could get some coleslaw? And here's the thing too. You should not be able to have a sandwich shop and not have coleslaw. There's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than when you order the burger, even the burger. The burger, ooh, okay, give me some fries and some coleslaw. We have an herbal chip that's made of arugula and mixed in with the bark of the jubanji tree.
I had In-N-Out tonight.
Oh.
That's hamburger.
Let's look. Here's the thing. People listening nationally don't know because they won't expand. But
it's
look.
It's your White Castle.
Oh no, it's not.
I mean, it's you're attached to it.
Yes, but it's quite a notch up from that. That's it. Everybody else, look how they do it and try to copy them. That's your plan. Don't go your own direction. All right.
So let's finish with Rachel here.
Where Rachel?
She can tell us about her family of origin. Oh, anything? Yeah.
Hmm.
Anything in your family of origin? Anything we should know about?
My parents had like a really relationship my entire life, but they stayed together for my sister and I. We're like an upper class, like upper middle class probably. Mm-hmm. And it was just a horrible relationship, and I have like eating disorder problems and things like that, but I don't know if I'm looking for like a father figure, and it's just this
guy. I never think it's that simple as, gee, I want to find dad. It's certainly that it's more, you know, I kind of know the way humans operate. It's more that when a guy was traumatizing, with an older man was traumatizing to you in the sense that he was maintaining a chaotic relationship with your mom or was unavailable or abandoning, that becomes your focus. So it's not that, you know, it was, you know, the things weren't ideal and I had a good relationship with dad and I really loved him and I want to recreate that. It's more that dad was kind of an a-hole and it was painful and traumatic for me. Now I got to have it in my adult life.
Yeah. Is this guy married, the 40-year-old sandwich shop owner?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
All right.
And sort of today he just found out that I kind of like him, but he's been like giving me pretty clear signs also. But I know I don't think he'd ever do anything with me, but...
Why did he find out, or how did he find out?
We were just talking about it, because we talk about a lot of things, like explicit things, and then just like regular everyday life stuff, and sort of came up.
He's not a good guy.
He's talking with you about you being attracted to him?
Well, I'm like pretty hot. It's weird to say that, but
you be me.
So you've been talking to him about the fact that you like him?
Well, I'm pretty hot. Sounds like she's going to say halva. I'm pretty hot. Wow. That either means super hot or not so hot. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going hot for a smaller market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
L.A., she'd just be hot. But in Seattle, she's... And if she was in, like, Idaho or Alaska, she'd be like... you know, Rachel, I don't think hot's a good word for you. I think you should start using attractive.
Shut up.
Come out. It'll roll off your tongue a little better.
All right. So you're good looking. That's all right.
Well, I guess right. I'm not now.
But here's the deal, Rachel. This guy is your boss. He has a responsibility to maintain certain boundaries with you.
It's sandwich shop.
Yeah, but still, it's really sort of quasi criminal behavior to prey on younger employees and things. It's just a bad signs of a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're being hot doesn't excuse him.
Right. Okay. You understand?
Don't I kind of bring it on myself though?
No. Well, it's interesting. Good instinct to evaluate your own role in all of this. That's mm-hmm, fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm certain you do play a role in this.
Yeah.
But the guy going for it at 40 with a wife and children, uh-uh.
Mm.
Yeah, you may sort of set the soil there, but the guy is rolling down that hill, bad guy.
Rachel?
Okay.
So today it actually came out that he was attracted to you or you were attracted to him?
I was attracted to him.
And how did you tell him?
Well, he sort of guessed. It just kind of, like, came up. Mm-hmm.
I would guess it would go a little something like this. As you know, I'm very... I like the sandwich. You know when you go to the sandwich shop, you go to, like, the Subway, and they're wearing the plastic gloves,
plastic gloves. Well, they're not even gloves. They're like...
Wearing a couple of sandwich bags on your hands?
Yeah, sandwich bags.
Yeah, really?
Parachutes. Like
come on. What's the latex one's going to set you back? Now, they probably whip one off on every sandwich, but Rachel, if you guys are talking about you being then you are one step away from making a move, and he is one step away from making a move.
Well, and you've mentioned that you talk about explicit stuff.
Yeah.
The guys that their sort of thing is if you can talk dirty with me, you can, you know.
Yeah, or, you know, here's the deal. If you're not, if instead of being, you're fat, then we don't get into that. We don't get into that talk. That's how guys are. Chicks unattractive. It's like, I had a date this way. That's fantastic, sweetie. Hand me the cornbread. Fantastic. Keep going. He was cute, and we went out. And okay, there you go. There you go. It's a date. Who's going to cut those tomatoes? Because they're not going to cut themselves. He took me to a movie. Okay, then.
Got
fantastic.
Nickel holding up a dime.
We got a dime holding up a dollar. It's what about that bathroom? When's the last time you douched that out? Go douche out that bathroom. I'll cut the tomatoes here. Right. Ugly chicks, we don't want to talk about. It's so funny because we don't want to go down that path with them because maybe they're thinking the way Rachel's thinking and we don't want them to think that way. So funny. It must be incredible for those chicks to like go back and be like, I started talking to my boss about sex and he was totally professional. He just kept changing.
Just shut it down.
I don't think there's a sexual bone in his body. Yeah. Put Rachel in there with him. I bet he turns a corner a little bit.
It cracks.
Yeah. So funny. I would love to have like that homely chick version of the guy. Like, I think he's gay or asexual. Certainly not into women. And then plug in the hot young chick who wanted to talk a little naughty at work. Oh, yeah. Guy's clearing time on his schedule, his verbal schedule for that. Yeah?
Ooh.
Drew, you'd laugh like a maniac if you saw tapes of you, the man of passion.
When?
Just talking to women you weren't attracted to. It's so funny, like them going, well, it's still pretty early. We should maybe go have a night. Come on. I think we're good. What time is it? Whew, 9:40. Wow. I could be up by noon tomorrow. We should, yeah. And them going, I don't know. He may be gay. No, not into you. That's how it works. All right. So don't do anything with this guy. He's going to get divorced. Crazy.
Oh, God. It's a disaster.
Work around a lot of knives. Crazy. Crazy wife's going to come in there.
Yeesh.
Yeah. He's got kids. I'm sure he has kids. Any guy who's 40 and owns a sandwich shop has kids.
Got kids, yeah.
That's a decent gig for your dad to have when you're a kid, though.
Mm-hmm.
Sandwich shop?
Oh, for you. Oh, God. The grail.
Oh. All right. Should we take a break?
Yep.
Who are we going to talk to when we come back?
One of those two.
Yeah, poor Adam. He's been on hold for 71 minutes.
Let's talk to Adam. Crystal,
poor Crystal's been on hold for 71 minutes.
Talk to them both together.
Actually, Crystal has Adam beat by almost 35 seconds.
No, Adam's got... Oh, you're right. I was 20 to 72. I beg your pardon.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
This is Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Get it on. No choice but to get it on. So, when we left off, we're going to speak to either Adam or Crystal. Crystal, on hold 77 minutes and 5 seconds. Adam, 76 minutes and 30 seconds. So, we're going to talk to Randy, who's been on hold for 8 minutes.
Perfect.
Now, let's talk to Crystal. Crystal?
Hi.
Go ahead, baby doll. Sorry for the wait.
That's okay. So, like, whenever I make out with someone, like, I start feeling sick to my stomach. And, like, afterwards, like, I get uncomfortable around them. And it's like, you know, I just don't, like, want to ever see them again.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of that's normal, right? The feeling of nausea and whatnot is sort of an anxiety symptom. And then you don't know how to behave afterwards. And you'd rather just he go away. Have to be confronted with trying to negotiate a relationship.
We always talk on this show about, look, guys, if the lady likes you, you will know about it. But there is a small percentage that sort of gets a little freaked out about guys. And even if they do like the guy, they're sort of mixed ambivalent feelings.
Can't, they can't manage it. Can't negotiate it. And that's all right. You'll figure it out. You've got to kind of hang in with this a little bit. This is how you learn how to have relationships.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah. And it's like, I've never made out with a guy that I've actually, liked. It's always, one or two night stands, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't you go after guys you like?
It's like, when I do, when I get really close to them, I end up just, kind of pushing them away. I right when we're about to, get together, I just, I lose interest in them.
I consider that protective.
Yeah.
That's good. Those are good. Those are healthy impulses at 15. If you're still doing that at 21, give us a call.
What's the over-under on the virginity? 18. I turned that into 30 syllables. But
18.
18? When are you looking to lose it?
I don't know. Maybe, when I'm around, my 20s.
20s? 20s? Yeah. When's your birthday? I'll pencil September. You in, if you like. When's your birthday?
September
9th. September 9th. Okay.
Well, Adam can oblige.
What are you looking for? I usually just go on the 18th birthday, but if you want to go ahead and get a spot for your 20th or 21st birthday, I can put you on the calendar. September 9th, what are you looking toward? 20? Let's be realistic.
Okay.
You know, I know it's all pie in the sky.
Sign up for 20. You can always put it off.
I'm not talking to a 15-year-old chick that wasn't going to be a veterinarian and that wasn't going to keep her virginity until her honeymoon. But let's face it, a few years later, you've been with 30 guys and you're going to junior college. You're majoring in hacky sack. So let's just be realistic. I'm not saying that's going to be you, Crystal, but I'm saying, you know, let's get away from the pie in the sky, 25, 28. Let's put you down for 19.
19? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to ink you now.
Okay.
Is it going to be your place or hers?
Were you out in Modesto?
Yeah.
She'll have to come down.
I'll either fly in or I'll take the van out. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll get your address off the air. September 9th. Oh.
2010?
I've run into this before.
2011.
2011. Go ahead and get that on the calendar. Real quick, what time were you born? Because I have been screwed on a technicality. Oh, no, you're going to be 19. We're cool. You know, the 18-year-olds I've got. I'll go ahead and get your birthday, date of birth. Go ahead and confirm that. Then I'll put you on my calendar, and then I'll deflower you on your 18th birthday. Some people were born late in the evening.
I think the law lets you off on that one.
You'd think.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you'd think. But I know differently.
There could be a whole bunch of cases now.
5,000 hours of community service.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's in Montana, so I got to go back there every weekend for the next 11 years. It's tough. Yeah. Chicks born 10:45 in the evening. You know, I came by at noon. Huh? Who the hell's looking at a watch? You know what I mean?
Who knew?
Not me. Not me or any of my van drivers. Yeah. Let's keep moving. We speaking
Adam.
To now. Oh, Adam? Yeah. Adam, when's your birth date? So I'll do this with guys, too.
Huh.
I was going to say to expand. 29th. Hmm?
March
29th. March 29th. How's your behindman? Still intact?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see you about noon on the 29th, 2006.
There you go.
Okay, it's coming up. Get that on this calendar. What's your question?
Yeah, my girlfriend, she has, anytime like anything touches her vagina or the vaginal area, whether she's wearing pants or not, she'll just uncontrollably pass out.
When's her birthday?
June 22nd.
How old is she?
She's 17.
17, all right. I'll see her before I see you. Oh, no, you're going on March. That's right. She's where out in Sunnydale?
Sunnyvale, yeah.
Sunnyvale?
Yeah.
Is that in Southern California?
It's Bay Area. So central.
Okay, what I like to do is I like to line up a few stops. I'll probably make a San Francisco, Oakland stop.
No, the military would probably kick me out if they found out about that.
You're in the military at 17?
Yeah.
You're ROTC?
No.
You're actually enlisted in this man's army?
Yes.
At 17?
You won't go in until after you're 18.
No. Well, I ship out June 22nd, so yeah.
On your 18th birthday.
Her
18th birthday. Yeah. Why the answer? Why is this going? You're 17. You're in the military. Yes, I am. 17. Yes, I am. And you're ROTC. No, I'm in the military. 17 in the military. Well, you won't, but you won't be in the military officially until you're 18. No, untrue. Oh, yeah. 3 months after my 18th birthday.
Yeah.
Because they don't take you before. They'll sign you up, and then you start boot camp or basic or whatever, you know, a month after you turn 18. Yeah. I like the guys all in World War II was like, yeah, I was 13 when I went to Korea. But I told my CO I was 19, and he gave me a gun. Wow. That's how we used to do it. And during World War II, it's like, look, if you're 15 and want to say you're 18, climb on board, baby.
Right.
We'll put you right up, ship you right to the front.
Hey, Adam,
crazy,
what
right?
do you mean any vaginal stimuli? What have you tried and what actually happens?
We were making out and I started groping her and she had warned me before that she might just pass out. And so sure enough, she just dropped.
She was standing up and she fell to the ground.
Yeah. Well, I kind of caught her. Before she hit the ground,
What does she describe?
It's like Spock.
Yeah.
Except for instead of pinching the trapezoidal muscle, boom.
No.
Backhanded Spock.
It's any underhand. Sort of stimulation to that area. Even if she does it, she'll pass out.
That is a horrible sign.
Is that a good feeling?
No, it's bad. She generally starts having nightmares and thrashes around in her sleep.
Oh, well, there you go. So we know what that means.
Do not get her pregnant.
No, I don't plan on doing so.
Well, nobody plans on doing it, but it happens.
So I would think sexual abuse at a very young age.
Yeah, she already has admitted that.
Are you a virgin, Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the name Adam adds about 3 years on to a guy's virginity.
This Mahalo.
My personal experience. Mm. Going into the Army as a virgin. That's tough. Mm. I'll tell you this. All right. Work with her. Stay with her. She was abused. It's going to be tough. A couple things, Drew. First off, if I'm the military, first day of boot camp, who here is a virgin? All right. Let's you eight guys, get take over care. Here. We got some comfort women over here. They're going to sex you down, and it's going to be checked off the list, and now you're going into this man's army because you cannot do battle while you're virgin, number one. Imagine going to Iraq, car bomb blows up second day or there. You die with your hymen.
Bad.
Buried with your hymen. Boots on and hymen. Hymen high. Boots on, hymen high.
Bad. Bad times.
Bad times. Yes?
Yes.
Drew, imagine being buried a virgin. And here's my thing. You know, they always talk about ghosts that are haunting the house because it's always like she died on her honeymoon. And now the beautiful woman in her white dress walks up and down the halls looking for her. I like this idea, by the way, that these ghosts have some sort of agenda. Like, hey, I'll tell you, after I die, that's when the agenda starts. That's when I get to work, brother. After I'm in the ground,
I'm asserting myself.
That's what I'm going. Unfinished business. Hey, all you people that aren't in trouble now that I'm alive, your ass is grass when I hit the grave because I'm going to be looking for my whatever. But I'll tell you, you tell me the guy died a virgin and he's looking to get laid, I will buy that story.
Well, imagine what you would do if you're invisible.
Yeah. And then what I do is we exhume him, we open the casket, we throw in a hooker, and we're like, now he can finally rest. She's in a bad way, but he can finally rest. All right, let's take a little break.
Let's do.
We'll be right back. Let me say this, too. Yeah. It's great that you're with someone that was horribly abused, but oh, man.
He's in for a ride.
He's in for Mr. Toad.
The military is not a bad place for him.
No, gets to go away. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah. Well, that's it, kiddies. We'll be back for the farewell tour tomorrow night. And until then, this is Adam Crowley for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.